Mark chapter 15, and when you get there, look in verse 21. Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. Please don't hold against Brother Rafe that he's Brother Lane's brother. Couldn't help who he was giving for siblings, but no, he's blessed, and we're blessed to get to have Brother Lane with us, and does a great, boy, when he's gone, if he's not able to make it when he's out of town, I hate having to leave my own music. I've been so blessed with that. And so I appreciate Brother Lane, all he does. Good to have Rafe with us tonight. Mark 15 and verse 21, if you're there, give me a big amen. Amen. And they compel one Simon a Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Preached on this morning, Simon of Cyrene. And I want to do a spinoff of that message tonight. If you would flip back one chapter with me and read Mark chapter 14 and verse 27. Mark chapter 14 and verse 27, and here's why this is ironic. Jesus is there when he is going along the Via Dolorosa, and the Bible doesn't specifically say it. We're assuming there's historians that from other accounts that have said that Jesus has fallen beneath the weight of the cross. Either way, Jesus is in a place where he needs help. He needs somebody else to carry his cross for him if he's going to be able to make it up to Calvary to become that ultimate Passover that Simon had come to Jerusalem to observe. And so Jesus is alone. He's in a state where he needs help. And he was just told by somebody hours before, when Jesus made a declaration, that all of you will be offended at me. You'll fall. You will trip. You'll be nervous. You'll be scared. And out of panic, you'll abort your mission. You'll forsake me. And there was a man who, ironically, his name was also Simon, who said, no, if all be offended of you, if all be scared and run away, not me. Lord, I'll go with you all the way until the death, if need be. But when Jesus got to the place where he finally needed that help, Simon wasn't there. Look what it says, Mark chapter 14 and verse 27. It says, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. We know Peter's first name, Simon, Simon Peter. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Title of my message tonight, where was Peter? Where was Peter? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for everything that you've given us. Lord, thank you for the way that you spoke to our hearts this morning. And Lord, the crowd that you brought to your house, Father, we're so thankful that we get to be a part of a work that you are blessing. And we're asking you to please always do that. Please continue blessing. Father, we know that it's nothing that any of us are doing, but you're building your church. And so thank you for that. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit's power tonight. You know I cannot do this without you. I need your help. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Jesus is alone now. He's needing help. And he was told hours before, don't worry, I'll never let you down. You ever had somebody who told you before and they assured you you're nervous about something, you're about to go through with something, and so they said, don't worry, I'll be with you every step of the way. You ever had that happen before? Now, have you ever had that happen, and then when you got to the spot that you were worried about, the person who assured you, I'll be with you, dropped the ball? Huh? You ever been there before? We all have. And so that's what Jesus is experiencing. He's told, I won't be offended. I won't leave. Yes, you will, Peter. You're going to deny that you know my name 3 times just a few short hours before the rooster crows in the morning. And then Peter answers stronger. No, never. I could never do that. Look at that. Jesus, not only will I not be offended at you, but I'll go with you every step of the way to the point that I will die with you. Don't worry, I'll be with you. But Jesus gets to that place and he turns around and where's Peter? Peter forsook him. He wasn't there. Why did God choose a man named Simon to carry the cross? Now, it could have just been coincidence. That's absolutely possible. But I can't help but wonder how Peter felt when he learned there was a time when Jesus needed help and he received help from a man named Simon, but it wasn't him. Although he promised, I will be with you all the time. I can't help but wonder if there's a lesson that Jesus was trying to teach. But what we see tonight, Peter, like so many Christians, has gone AWOL. Y'all know what I mean when I say AWOL, like a soldier. You're supposed to be at your post. You're supposed to be where you're stationed to be, and you stay there until you're given permission to leave. And Peter had a post. Peter was he had volunteered to help go with the Savior, whether it was to protect him, which he started off trying to do when he took his sword out and swung for Malchus's ear. Now, Peter was a fisherman. He was not a professional swordsman. All right, he was not talented enough to smite this guy's ear. He was going for a headshot. And Malchus ducked out of the way, and Peter just caught his ear. Peter started off right. But it's not just how you start that's important, but how you finish. And so Peter is at a place now. He's gone AWOL. He's forsaken his post. And so God found somebody else to do the job that Peter promised that he would do. Go with me. Hold your finger in Mark 14. Flip over to the left to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. I want to show you a similar story, but in the Old Testament. Numbers 25. Are y'all with me tonight? It's quiet. Amen. Everybody tired? How many of you got your afternoon rest this afternoon? Raise your hand. Right, that's the problem. Okay, not enough people got their afternoon rest. I'll try my best to be done on time. Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1. Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1. Now, where we are, the children of Israel are coming through the land of Moab, and they've been disobeying God. The men have started to look for women of the culture. It's very clear God wants us to marry people that believe like we do. God doesn't want a Christian marrying somebody who's not a believer. God doesn't even want a Christian marrying a believer who does not stand where they stand. You're asking for problems. And so many people have been destroyed because of being unequally yoked. That's what's taking place here. The children of Israel, men are taking to them wives from the land. God said, don't do that. I don't want you to be unequally yoked. Before you know it, you'll start worshiping their gods and serving their idols. And that's exactly what took place here. And so God is pronouncing judgment. Look what he says, Numbers 25:1. If you're there, give me a big amen. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of... Now, who's receiving this word here? Talk to me. Moses. Yeah, it's not true. Moses. So Moses receives the word. Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand and went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Here's what's happening. I already told you what's leading up to this story. And all of a sudden, after tons of people have already died, the children of Israel are gathering up against the door of the tabernacle, praying for mercy, and in a bold move, this Israelite man comes bringing in, just a bold, rebellious, idolatrous, comes walking in the camp of Israel on the sight of everybody, bringing this Midianitish woman. He was letting everyone know, you're not going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me who I can and can't marry. You're not going to tell me what I can and can't do. And so he's bringing them in. Now, Phinehas notices something. The Bible says specifically that this man walked in. Now, God's already given the order, and he gave it to Moses. I want him destroyed. I want them hung up so that they can be an example to the children of Israel to see. Aaron is there, who's the high priest. Eleazar, Aaron's son. The judges that Moses gave word to, I want you to go destroy all of them. This man walks in the presence of everybody, and Moses, Aaron, Eleazar, the judges of Israel, stand and watch and do nothing. Phinehas gets to walking around, looks up at Moses. Is he just going to let this happen? Grandpa Aaron, didn't I just hear that God wanted these whoremongers destroyed? Dad, who was also a priest, Eleazar, Where's the judges that are stepping up to the plate and doing what God told them to do? Everybody just sat by and watched it happen in the sight of all Israel. Well, finally, Phinehas said, I don't care if I was not the leader of Israel. I can't sit by and just watch this happen. And so Phinehas ran. He got a javelin, and he ran in that tent and did the will of God. And because of that, God told Moses, Aaron, Eleazar, he told the judges of Israel, because one man was zealous. And because he watched when all of y'all did nothing, the plague stayed from Israel and God stopped the plague. Now what happened here? God had called Moses to be his leader of Israel. He called Aaron to be the religious leader, the high priest, the judges. They're in leadership. All of these men, it's their job to take care of this, not Phinehas. But Phinehas saw that they weren't doing their job. They didn't step up to the plate and do what God had called them to do. So God used Phinehas to do it. God used Phinehas to do it. Because what happened to Moses? What happened to Aaron? And so when God wanted them to do what their job, but they didn't do it. They just sat and watched it happen. God wanted the children of Israel to purify the land of Canaan. The Canaanites had gotten so wicked, God said, I want to send the children of Israel into Canaan land. I want y'all to purify it. Wipe everybody out. And start over with you. The children of Israel didn't have enough faith to do it. So God said, all right, fine. You won't do it. I'll send your kids. God said, you're going to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. Everybody who's 20 years old and under will get to go into Canaan land. The point, we see what we're seeing tonight? That if I forsake my post, if I'm not where I told God that I would be, if I'm not in the place that I'm called to be, God will send somebody else in my place. Where was Peter? Jesus is in a position of needing help. I can't carry this cross anymore. My physical strength is about worn out. I won't make it to Golgotha. I need somebody's help. Where's the man who said, I'll be with you if nobody else is. I'll go with you to death. Where's Peter? When Peter didn't do his job, God chose somebody else, Simon, in his place. When Moses and Aaron didn't do his job, God chose Phinehas in their place. When the children of Israel did not do their job, God chose their kids in their place. There's a time in the book of 1 Samuel where a giant walks out into the valley of Elah and starts yelling out to the camp of Israel, and he starts mocking the name of God and starts mocking the children of Israel. And so then he says this. He goes, I want you to send out a champion. Send somebody out to come fight with me. Now we all know who should have been marching down on Israel's side. You see, the king should have been the leader and been in war. The ladies, after the battle took place, the ladies started singing a song that said, Saul had slain his thousands. Saul had slain his thousands. He was a mighty man of war. Not to mention that, if you're looking, okay, so Goliath's a giant, about 9.5 feet tall. The Bible says that Saul was head and shoulders above all the men of Israel. He wasn't a physical giant, but he was as close to one as you could get. Where was Saul? Hiding in his tent. So God sent a shepherd. If I'm not where I'm supposed to be, God will send somebody else in my place. There was a man named Demas who Paul had taken him, and God sent Demas and called him specifically to be Paul's aide as he went through and started these churches and preached the gospel. But Demas left his post, and he got to a place where he left Paul all by himself. And so Paul had to write to Timothy and say, I need help. Demas has forsaken me. And so God sent Timothy from Ephesus to go and help him. But where was Peter? Jesus needed his help, and Peter forsook him. God wanted Saul to destroy the giant, but he didn't do it, so God sent the shepherd. The children of Israel, so God sent their kids. Moses and Aaron didn't do their job, so God sent Phinehas. When I don't do my job, when I've forsaken my post, when I'm not where I told God that I would be, he'll have to send somebody else in my place. Now, here's what's hard. When I am not in my place, God will send somebody else, but the reassignment hurts the ranks of God's army. You look at where, if Simon was there, praise the Lord. But if Peter would have been in his place, we could have had two that were doing God's will. Here is Demas who left Paul. Now, God replaced him. He sent Timothy to go help Paul. But to do that, Timothy had to leave Ephesus. So sometimes we'll say, well, if I don't do what God's called me to do, it's okay, he'll ask somebody else. The ranks of God are thinning. And he's going to have to reassign. And somebody else is going to have to leave a place where they were being effectively used. Timothy wasn't able to stay at Ephesus because Demas didn't stay at his post. And so when I don't do my job, God will replace me. He'll send somebody else. But the reassignment always hurts the ranks of God. We see something else. The greatest ability that God is looking for is availability. Yeah. available. You know, I don't know how qualified Simon was of Cyrene. How qualified was he to do this? How experienced was he? Did he even know who the Lord was? He didn't even know that he was participating in the Passover, thought he had missed it. But God wasn't sitting there and looking for qualities and talents and abilities. Here, the greatest ability God was looking for is he's available.
Yeah,
he's available. The greatest ability, the preacher said, many preachers have said, the greatest ability is availability. God is not just looking for the most talented person. A lot of times the most talented person isn't willing. They're standing on the sidelines. I'm not willing to carry the cross. That looks heavy. That looks inconvenient. That looks like a drudgery. That looks degrading. I don't want to do that. And so God has to bypass the talented one and choose someone who might not be as talented, but they're available. And that's what God's looking for. Looking for a person like Isaiah that'll raise his hand and say, Lord, here am I, send me. God is looking around in Isaiah chapter 6. Who am I going to send? Who will go for us? Who's going to go and warn Israel that they're Judah, that they're backsliding? Who's going to go take my message to the king? And Isaiah got to looking around. Nobody was volunteering. And so Isaiah said, Lord, I'll do it. Was Isaiah, did he have the best ability there? I don't know. Very possible there were preachers there that men that were a lot more talented than Isaiah. Maybe better speakers. Maybe better persuaders. Maybe they were more experienced. But Isaiah was the one that said, God, send me.
Yeah.
Y'all with me tonight?
Yeah.
Where was Peter? On April 14th, 1865, there was a man named John Frederick Parker. Now, John Parker was instructed. He was given a post. And they took him to a door. And they said, some of you history majors might already know the story that I'm talking to. Some of you do. He took John Parker and they said, there, you see this door? I want you to guard this door. And they even put a chair there for him. And they said, this is your seat. You stay in this seat. You don't leave your post. You're going to guard what's behind this door. Now, John Parker was known for those around him. He was actually known for not being very responsible. He was an alcoholic. And they said he was unreliable. But for whatever reason, he was the one selected on April 14th, 1865 to sit outside this door and guard the door sitting in his chair. Well, this was a play that was taking place. Anybody know the name of the theater? Ford's Theater. A few minutes into the play, John Parker said, I can't see the play from here. And so he got up out of his chair and he went to another location so he could better see the play. They said that about intermission time that he got thirsty for a drink, and so he was seen, documented history, he was seen going across the street to the Star Saloon. They don't know if he ever came back to Ford's Theater or not. In the third act, about 10:14, John Wilkes Booth snuck down the hallway and walked right past an empty chair that should have had a guard sitting in it. And he was able at 10:14 p.m. to kick that door open, and the future of our nation was changed because one man left his post. The Bible says that it's required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Boy, I want to be faithful, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of messages are focused on this topic. Can I trust God? But the question is, God's trustworthy. I can tell you that now. And I've preached about it in other messages. You can trust God. The real question is this. Can God trust me? Peter said, you can trust me. Just call my name and I'll be there. I'll go with you to the death. You can trust me. But when Jesus needed Simon, Simon wasn't there. How many problems have taken... I wonder how many battles we've lost in the spiritual war that we're in because Simon's left their post. Because John Harper's left their post. Well, I want God to be able to look at me and know that I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be there when He's asked me two questions. Two questions tonight. We're going to get out early. Two questions for the message tonight. First of all, how often does God have to look for someone else to do something that was originally meant for me? How often? Ask yourself that question. How often does God have to look for somebody else to do something that was originally meant for me? I wonder how many people that God has looked down. See, God's up in heaven orchestrating things. He's planning things. And I wonder how many times God has looked and said, here's a lost man. And at exactly this time, they're going to meet Keith Carringer. And sent His Holy Spirit to say, touch Keith's heart to give that man the gospel. And when the time that God needed me, I wasn't at my post. Or just decided the cross is too heavy. Or I had my own plans. I didn't have time to do God's plan. And I wonder how many times God has had to look for someone else to send. He's had to look for a Timothy. He's had to look for a Phineas. He's had to look for a Simon of Cyrene because Keith wasn't at his post. Or because Keith didn't do what he was called to do. I wonder how many times that's happened. I wonder how many Christians have needed encouragement. And the Holy Spirit put it on my heart, and it was God's will. He orchestrated it so that I would walk up to them. And instead of saying, I don't have time. I don't really feel like talking to people. Instead of going up to them and saying, hey, boy, it's good to see you today. How are you doing? Yeah, how's your, whatever. Start talking to them. And God knew that they needed to talk to somebody, and they were going to open up and start telling what's going on in their life right now. But because I decided that I didn't want to do that, God had to start looking for somebody else. But the problem is, He'll find someone else, but the ranks of God's army are going to get thin because they're being pulled out of another place they could have been to serve. How many times have I not been faithful in what God wanted me to do in evangelizing and passing out tracts and encouraging others? How about certain ministries in the church? Certain ministries in the church. How many times has God had to come up with the reinforcement or search for a replacement because there was a Simon that had a job to do? They told God, just like Simon said, I'll go with you to the finish line. I'll go with you to the death. When you need me, call my name and I'll be right there. How many Christians said, all right, Lord, I'll serve in this ministry in the church. Here's a need. I'll fill it. Boy, time went by and it got difficult. They finally quit. Now God's having to thin His ranks because He's got to find somebody else who's saying, Lord, I don't have much, but what I have is Yours. And He's looking for somebody to fill their place. Oh, how I can't. I'm so thankful that the bus that God has given us, you don't have to have a CDL to drive it. Lord gave us the perfect vehicle we needed. But I can't tell you how many churches right now, they have buses that need to be driven, and there's people with CDLs that just won't go volunteer. They won't do it. God's given them the bus. God's given the kids that want to ride. But somebody is not volunteering, and they're hurting the ranks of God. Boy, do you know that there's churches that are handicapped financially because there are Simons that are not in their place?
Yeah.
You know, the nursery, we're about to be at the place where I'm going to have to close down nursery on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Y'all don't even know that yet. I'm about to make an announcement soon. I need nursery workers. I need nursery workers. God has been blessing our church with young kids and young families, and praise the Lord for that, but that comes with babies. And I'm so thankful for the women that we have that are volunteering, but I need help. We need more. We're needing to have accountability in the nursery, and I'm about at the place where I'm going to have to say, we're scheduling for Sunday morning, but I don't have enough of a rotation. And I understand that. We've got a lot of babies for a church our size. Our women are rolling up their sleeves and working hard, but I need more help. I need more help. And there's churches that they are just absolutely handicapped because there are Simons that have decided, I'm not going to do it. I left my post, and now the ministry of God is hindered. And God's having to try to thin the ranks out. You know, and Jesus made the statement. Remember, he looked out over the fields. Remember that? You remember the story? And he said, the fields are white and they're ready to harvest.
Yes.
All right? The problem is not that there's not enough souls to be saved. The problem is not that there's not enough harvest. It's white and ready to harvest. The problem's not even that God doesn't have enough of a workforce. He said, Jesus gave the analogy. He said, I've got a lot of people that are fine sitting around my table. They'll come to church. They like hearing the singing and they like hearing the preaching. They'll sit at my table and get my word. But you're asking me to go into the field? Huh? Is God ringing anybody's phone tonight? God said, the problem is not that I don't have enough field and not enough work to do. And the problem is not that I don't have enough workforce. It's that I can't get people to leave my table and go walk into the field.
Yeah.
That's a hard ministry. Crosses are heavy.
Yes. Right.
And there are Simons that have told God no. And the work of God is limping on. Limping on. Well, I can't tell you how many ministries that I know of. I've got pastor friends. And the more this church grows, the more working parts we end up having, the more laborers we're going to need. And the needs are just going to get... You know, we sometimes think, boy, it'd be nice if the church grew. Some of you remember in our early days, man, this would have been a blowout Sunday morning crowd. Remember that a few years ago? Man, this would have been a fantastic crowd. And sometimes it's easy to think, boy, it'd be nice when God blesses our church if we get more volunteers. You know what we've discovered? The more He's blessed our church, the more work we've needed to have done. And so we're always needing more volunteers. And praise God for the people that work. And I'm not, look, I know that God calls certain people to certain ministries. God might not have called you to a certain thing, but boy, we need help. God's work needs help. And so the question I'm asking myself tonight, and I'd like for you to ask yourself as well, is how often does God have to look for somebody else to do something that was originally meant for me? You know, sometimes we'll kind of do it like this. We'll say, well, I know that if God wanted me to do this, He'd give me a desire for it. And that's a lot of times how it works. I knew God wanted me to preach because there was an overwhelming desire in my heart burning inside of me. I have to preach. But that's not always how it works. My dad, I told you this morning, he didn't want to. He wanted to fly planes. You know how Jonah knew that he was called to Nineveh? Because he had this overwhelming burning desire inside. Boy, I just need to go to Nineveh. Huh? When I think about those people, Brother Hankins, those Ninevites, it just breaks my heart for them. And I want to go to... Is that what happened? You mean that God wanted Jonah to go do something that he didn't want to do?
Right. Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah. How many times has God had to look for a Simon of Cyrene because Keith Carringer wasn't in my post? And here's the next question, and we'll close with this. Am I someone that He always finds available when He needs me? Boy, when I look at this message tonight, I don't want to be Peter. Now, thankfully, Peter got right with God, and he was in his post from then on out. But I don't ever want God having to look down at me and say, I wanted to use you there. Okay, who else can I find? I want to be the Phineas. I want to be the one that God looks down at. My hand's always up.
Yeah.
How many teachers taught kids that they were, boy, they volunteered for everything. Aren't they a blessing? I'll do it. I want to be the Phineas that looks around and says, boy, I've known this pastor for years. He's sitting down on the job. What's he doing? I've known this. Look at these Christians that have been saved for so long, and they're doing. Is nobody going to do anything? I'd love for Highlands Baptist Church to be the church. There might be other churches that have more resources. They might have nicer facilities, and they might have more people attending them. But we could look around and say, they're not doing anything to reach people. Lord, we'll go. We'll reach Lake Placid. I'll be the Phineas. I'll be the Timothy. That's what I want to be. Where was Peter? Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for everything You've given us.